The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Know How, Know Who, with me, Sally Scott. Today we're getting to know a fellow Nelson local, and getting to know the tools they've used to get through the challenges they've faced. So we all know how to get through whatever life throws our way. So let's get in the know. Good morning. Today we're getting to know a Nelson local, Harold Mayaba, and hearing his know-how he used to get through a challenged face. Today we're going to talk about being homeless. Harold was homeless when he was a teenager, and we're going to hear a bit more about that. So, Harold, thank you for being my guest today. You're a lion hugger, a market researcher, an entrepreneur, a motivational speaker, and a life coach. That's a lot. You must be a busy man.
Exactly.
But I'm so keen to hear, you know, more about your struggles with being homeless. Can you tell me where you were, when that was, a little more detail?
Thank you, Sally, for asking that question. So to start with, I was born to a mom who was just 14 years old. And my father was 19 years old, so they were just high school students when they had me.
Yeah.
And so I grew up with my grandparents in the village. So it happened that after I grew up for the first time when I was 13 years old, I went to live with my mom. But unfortunately, within a year, she died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When she was just 28 years old,
very young.
And then my aunt took me because my grandmother and my grandfather, they couldn't afford to be paying for my school fees. But unfortunately, things didn't go well. When I was living with my auntie and my uncle, I was kicked out of their home.
Oh.
That's how I became homeless. When I was just a teenager. And for your own information, there was nothing serious that I did for me to be kicked out.
Mm. So it was hard, not only being homeless, but not having a big reason for being asked to get
exactly,
out.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I guess when you have grown up, you're not in high school. If you become homeless, that's much better. You can maneuver your around and see how to solve the problem. But when you are a high school student and you have to continue attending classes, it's tough. And then you have no one to pay for your high school fees, because where I was born and bred from, you have to pay for your education. Those days there was no free education at all.
So whereabouts were you born and where were you living when this happened, Harold?
So I was born and bred in Zambia, and this was, I was at the high school, which is the central province of Zambia. That's where I was when I actually became homeless.
So a teenager, having no adults that are supporting you and wanting to continue at your schooling, so did you manage to stay at school? What happened next?
This is what happened. So let me just give you a little bit of the background, the reasons why I was kicked out of the house. Because my grandparents, they couldn't afford to pay for my school fees. And mom had just died. My father was very responsible. He was not there in my life. So whilst I was living with my auntie and my uncle, so my auntie was the elder sister to mom, she couldn't continue paying for my school fees. So one school holiday, I said, I want to go and visit one of my uncles so that I can go and lobby for school fees. My uncle said, no, you can't, because this is the farming season. We want you boys to be helping us
on the farm.
Then I said, I have to go because I need money for my school fees, otherwise I'll be kicked out of school. And one day I just left. So after a month, I came back and my uncle said, where are you coming from? Then I said, I told you I was going to go and visit my other uncle in the capital city, Lusaka, so that he could help me with his school fees. Then he said, I don't want to find you when I get back home.
Wow.
I thought he was just trying, you know, to pull my legs or something. He got back home around 6 p.m. He said, why are you still here? Then I realized this is serious.
Not a joke.
It's not a joke. At about 7 p.m., he reminded me, said, I don't want to drag you out of this house. It's better you start off right now. So I picked up my small bag. I started walking. It was dark. And you know what, Sally? For the first time in my life, I saw death walking towards me on two legs. Because that night I wanted to end my life. It was so intense. And, you know, you are walking, you're just by yourself at night. You don't know where you're going. I was just walking with my
with your
backpack.
Yeah.
So I was walking, I was crying, tears rolling on my face, not knowing what to do, thinking, let me just disappear from the face of the earth. What's the point? So at one point, I stopped by the roadside. Then I thought, let me check what is in my bag. I checked in my bag. I only had books. Then I thought to myself, where are my clothes?
Pretty important to have clothes.
Yeah, how come I've only picked books? So I reflected back. I realized when I was packing, I was not in my right mind. But looks like I picked the most valuable item in my life. Then I started thinking, why did I pick only books? And I only have, actually, I picked up books and my school uniform in my bag and just the clothes that I was wearing. Then I thought, what could be the reason? Now, I'm just summarizing my story. We can be here the whole
day. So we've got to have the condensed version, not the very,
exactly,
very long version.
Exactly. Yeah. This is just compacted all together. So then I reflected back. When I left the village, I promised my grandmother. I said, one day, I'm going to come back home driving. And I told my grandmother, I said, could you clear the trees here, make a road, because this is where my vehicle is going to pass in the next few years. And I had given myself a nickname as the hunger eradicator. Because when I was growing up, sometimes we used to go without food. So my whole purpose was get education, get a job. Because in that country, for you to have a job, you need to get your education.
Yeah.
Get education. Get a good job. Buy a car. Drive back to see my grandmother and my grandfather with groceries and food items.
And eradicate that hunger that's there for your family. Yeah.
That hunger in my family. So that night, when that thought came back to me, what I'd promised my grandparents, I was able to smile while I was walking in the darkness. Then I realized, if you want to get out of a certain situation, a challenge you're facing through, you have to define the purpose for your life.
And so you having that focus of thinking about your grandparents at that really difficult time all by yourself on the road, but remembering that you're the hunger eradicator and you're going to come back in that car and she must clear that space for you to park your car, that was a real focus for you.
That was my real focus, and that was my turning moment. I was able to walk in the dark. By that time, I had no idea where I was going, but just thinking about that, it was enough to push me, to keep me going without giving up. So it's what I call the big why.
Mm-hmm.
How big is your why? Why are you doing what you're doing?
Mm.
So for me, my purpose, my big why was too huge to give up.
Yeah, you had a real mission that you were on.
I had a real mission.
Yeah.
I had a real mission. And a few days ago, I was reading something, and because some people, they've asked me a question to say, but how do you discover your purpose in life? Because sometimes people, they don't know why they're here. I found a quotation by Bishop T.D. Jakes. He says, if you can't figure out your purpose in life, just figure out your passion.
Mm.
Then that passion will lead you to your purpose in life. So I think that's one thing, because I know there are people out there who will struggle to find their purpose. So that night, if I had no purpose, which was well clear to me, I knew that my passion was education.
And that was why in your bag, your first priority was your books and your uniform, because that was your passion. So making sure those things were packed in the stress of the moment, that was showing exactly what your priority was.
Exactly. But what interesting thing is, when I was packing my bag, it didn't come to my mind. It's like you are preconditioned to what you're doing. I never give a second thought to say which is more important here, because I was rushed to leave the house.
And you just grabbed things, and subconsciously you were choosing.
So it's like when the purpose of your life is really embedded in, it's who you are, everything. You are so focused to achieve something. It works like a compass that is just driving you towards a certain direction. So I've learned in my whole life that I just have to define my purpose. I just have to have my big why. Why am I doing this? Then everything just falls in place.
And even for you, as young as a teenager, just knowing what your purpose was, that's what, you know, kept you going on that road in the dark, was knowing your education is important, you have to get it done. And that's what, you know, sustained you and kept you strong. Is that
exactly
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Because, Sally, to tell you the truth, that same night, I thought of my past. Sometimes we could go, you know, without much food to eat, sometimes with nothing at all. I thought, if I don't continue with my education, I may go back to that same situation. I don't want to be an adult raising up a family with nothing much or less to feed my family. So going forward was much easier for me. That decision for me was much easier to make rather than going backwards. But it's all about the purpose and the big why.
And with education, was that something that your family saw as important, or were you the first one to actually really grab on and think, I want to be educated, this is my future?
So on my mother's side, it was something that was very important. And even my grandmother, she kept on reminding me. My grandmother was a dropout. She left school when she was in year three. She left school. And she kept saying to me, when I was still living with her in the village, to say, you have to get educated. You have to get. And all my uncles and all my aunties on my mother's side, they were so educated. We valued education so much. Yeah, so I remember my grandmother when I was high school. At first, before I moved to live with my auntie, I was actually at a high school closer to our village. My grandmother could walk a distance of about 15 to 20 kilometers wow. to come and see me
mm.
with some peanuts in a plastic bag.
Mm. She loved you.
And when I look back now, how can you go to a high school to see your grandchild with just a tiny bag of peanuts?
Mm.
To me, I look at that and say, my goodness, what kind of love was that?
Mm.
And even that same night, all those memories came back
mm.
to say, I cannot stop. I can't quit. I can't give up. I need to keep going.
Mm.
I have a big why.
Yeah, huge motivator in the love your grandparents had for you.
Exactly.
And for you to go out and be the hunger eradicator and make a change for yourself so that your future is positive. So holding on to that yeah. why is what sustained you through having no home to live in.
Exactly. So you should always have something to hold on. Even mm. when everything seemed to be falling apart.
Mm.
Just hold on to that one piece.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a big, complicated thing. Just something simple that keeps you going, that you hold on to keep your strength.
Someone may see it as a small thing, mm-hmm. but your why, mm-hmm. it's your why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you, the purpose. Your purpose, it's your purpose, is huge.
Yeah.
You tell it to somebody, they look at, oh, that's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No. We all have a why. In our lives, but it's a matter of making that why bigger enough than the problem you're facing at that particular time,
because then you'll overcome whatever struggles. Yeah. Well, I thought when we were talking about, you know, homeless, I was imagining this was going to be a talk about, you know, how to get food from different places and, you know, where you could live if you were looking for a home that you were homeless. But it's turned into a completely different conversation, which has been amazing. That it's not, I mean, I can see now that having that why, then finding food would be, if you've got that drive, then that's a secondary thing. You know, finding the food will come. But having that passion is what sustained you through obviously a very difficult time.
Yeah.
So, Harold, that's an amazing, amazing thing that you shared with us. Thank you. And how important it is to find our passion, what really drives us, because then, as you said, you can overcome anything if you've got that why or that drive. So we've talked a little bit about your know-how of how you got through. And so what are you up to now? Are you living here in Wakefield, you said? And tell me a bit more about what you're doing.
So at the moment, I'm a student. I'm a PhD student studying at Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a family here in Wakefield. I've got a wife.
You've eradicated the hunger?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've done that. But I'm still pushing.
Yeah.
I'm still pushing. But, I mean, the issue of hunger is not a factor anymore compared to how I was brought up.
Mm.
I'll be finishing my PhD in the next 6 months. I run a small business in Nelson, a trucking business. I have a contract with Smart Environmental, so running rubbish trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And also I run a business, a motivational speaking business. A life coach, and I'm an entrepreneur, not just here in New Zealand, but I run some businesses overseas in Zambia as well.
Wow, busy man.
Busy, but I am enjoying what I'm doing.
Yes, and that's what makes the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we just wanted to remind listeners that if you or anyone you know is struggling with issues that were raised in this program, please consider reaching out to the following support agencies in New Zealand for assistance. There's Lifeline, which is 0800 543 354. Samaritans, which is 0800 722 6666. Or your local GP. So thank you, Harold, for sharing your know-how today. It's been wonderful having you here with me. And we're going to end now with a song. And you've chosen a song that I had great trouble finding on Spotify.
I know.
Harold let me know it was Don't Worry About a Thing by Bob Marley. And what I've discovered, which I didn't know, was it's actually called Three Little Birds. So why did you choose this song? What is it about this song that you love?
So this is one of the songs that I used to listen when I was going through my struggles to complete my high school. Mm. Because what I've shared today is just a snapshot of what I went through. A lot of things happened after that night. So this song used to comfort me all the time when I played.
Mm.
You know, those lovely words, don't worry about a thing. Everything is going to be all right.
Mm.
And this is what I'm actually saying to all our listeners, to say, don't worry about things, because all things will be all right.
Mm.
Of course, with time.
Yes. Thank you so much, Harold. And thank you for listening to Know How, Know Who this morning. And let's have a listen. Been listening to Know How, Know Who with me, Sally Scott. We'll get to know another Nelson local on the next edition of Know How, Know Who. You can also find more episodes by searching under the Programs tab on our website freshfm.net or on accessmedia.nz. Thanks for getting in the know with me.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.